If you haven't checked out yet, The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke, it's a fantastic book that really encapsulates many of the ideas we talk about and philosophies gathered here on End Evil podcast. And you can order that book. Go to endevil.life. That's the website that contains all the past podcasts of the End Evil podcast. And there's a store tab. You go up in the little corner and click on the little menu, and you'll see store. On the store, you can find the book, The End of All Evil, which I will send to you, with some End Evil podcast stickers. Or you can get my book, The Book That Changed My Life. And those are available in hard copy. And you can also order The Book That Changed My Life in PDF form. So I want to introduce an awesome person that I'm excited to talk with tonight, a conversation. And this is Woody Martin. And Woody Martin is a fellow One Great Work Warrior, a One Great Work Network warrior who puts out a lot of great content. We met in Autonomy under the flag of Richard Grove with Autonomy. And Woody is an artist and a speaker, and he's become a strong natural law teacher, advocator. And I was having fun watching one of your animations this morning, which we'll talk about more. But welcome, Woody. Please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this.
Well, first of all, Chris, I'm super grateful for having me on. It's very special. I've been following your work for a long time, and I'm really appreciate what you've been doing in the, you know, natural law and freedom community. It's great to see all that you do and all that you put out, and the community that you build with your One Great Work Warriors. And I just appreciate that. For me, what really got me really started into natural law is, I've always loved nature. And I've always kind of, if people were like, oh, like, what do you believe in? You know, I was raised, I would say Catholic or Christian, mostly Catholic. So I came out of that and always had questions about some of the stuff there, and some of the people sometimes had, I would say, mixed or confused beliefs, like some of the stuff that didn't add up to me and some of these confused beliefs. So I kind of turned to nature, and, you know, if people ask me, I would believe, you know, I kind of looked at a lot of different religions, Buddhism, all kinds of stuff, and I'd look at nature. And I kind of believe that oneness that the Buddhists would talk about, and how everything's interconnected in nature. And then, you know, I had a kid, you know, and that made me want to even dig into this reality thing more. You know, because I went to college and I kind of escaped all that for a while and just kind of was doing my thing. I kind of just did funny, goofy art and kind of spaced out, like these animal paintings in space. So once I got out of that, I moved on to, I had a kid, my daughter. And so then that kind of was like, I wanted to like figure things out a little bit more. And in my research, I stumbled upon Thoth, the Egyptian god, and I got real into that. And then that led me to the Hermetic principles, which led me to Marx's work. And then that's kind of, once I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, natural law. Yeah, this is exactly what I've been looking for all this time. You know, this like completely makes sense. And then even the Hermetic principles, I really liked that, you know, the mentalism, you know, that's all is mind, and that kind of, like, I would say corresponds with the, you know, Buddhist kind of all is one kind of thing. And, you know, to me, all is God, and you can't escape spirit, and that you know, that's part of being human, is that spiritual aspect of us and the natural, you know, spiritual law that, you know, guides us is, you know, basically understanding right versus wrong. And if we understand that, we can end evil, I would argue. And if we follow that, yeah, so.
Right, like that's the hope. There has to be, from my point of view, there has to be some hope or optimism. You know, I always point out there's so much evil in the world today. We're inundated with it. We're surrounded by it. You said you grew up close to nature, and so you've had this longtime inspiration from nature. I really sympathize with that, because I used to even say nature is my Bible, because I grew up in the Christianity milieu, I guess you could say, going to church regularly, Sunday school stuff, you know, like a full week in the summer, and church camps, like a lot of church stuff in my growing up. So I had to kind of make this mental shift. Like, they're so concentrated on the Bible, but to me, it's like, if I was the creator of this reality or universe or even some high aspect of it, I would put the lessons, bake the lessons right into the reality that we're living in. And that's what I think is the situation. And so I've always said, yeah, my Bible's nature. But I'm curious, did your parents, did your family background have much pressure in terms of what you should think or believe? What gave you that freedom to kind of realize that on your own?
Well, my family gave me lots of freedom in that realm of things, because my father he never went to church with us. And it's not that he was like against it, he just didn't go. You know,
right.
He would go some. I mean, I wouldn't say never, because there were times where he went, you know, and stuff or whatever. And they even renewed their vows, like, because my grandma was all up in arms that they weren't married in the church. And so when I was like 14 or 15, they renewed their vows, you know, and I was just a grumpy teenager, like, this is lame, because they've been married for like 20 years or whatever, you know. But it was a fun party for them, and, you know, it made my grandmother happy. And so, my father was willing to do that, you know, because they eloped, you know, like, in the, they were hippies on their bicycles, eloped. Okay. You know, my dad was a musician, you know, folk guitar, I would say master, because he was an amazing guitar player. And like,
wow.
I'll have to share some of his music with you guys sometime.
Yeah, that sounds
even
good.
Just the music that wasn't his that he could play was like he could play this, like, I can't remember who the original artist, but there's a song called Buckets of Rain. It's kind of like a bluesy, kind of folky, I don't know. Anyways, it, like, there's this finger picking version of that song that he could do that was just like, oh man,
it's
like,
wow. Do you have a recording of that somewhere?
I don't know. I'd have to search. But I mean, there's other recordings that of the way he played it, that, because he was inspired by someone else that played it that way, and so he learned to play it that way. And so yeah, it's just like some of the stuff he could play was just, it's almost like the level of, like, you know how you see like the classical guitar players that can just, like, they're all over the place and stuff. And like, it was just like the really intermittent, like, alternate picking and like different, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it was really cool.
Yeah, like very high level of skill, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. But I was really grabbing onto the fact that you didn't seem to have some of that mind control from early on in terms of the religious aspect. How about in terms of like government? And was that sort of a hard pill for you to swallow? Or I guess what I'm really getting at is, what really clued you into evil in this world? So many people, even coming out of the hippie movement, are like pretty like, oh, everything's, you know, it's okay. You just got to put good energy in the world. It's not that bad, you know, like, for a lot of people like myself, coming to terms with just how evil the functioning of our modern world is with all its stealing was a shock, you know. And I'm curious, there had to be some points in your life where you kind of realized, like, oh my gosh, this is really bad. You said you started listening to Mark Passio. I'm sure that was part of the journey, but I'm curious if there's any particular things that really clued you into the nature of evil and and how bad things really are to make you become motivated to do what you're doing?
Well, for to back up a little bit, yes, I had a lot of freedom because, yes, my mom went to church, my dad didn't, and but so I did have a lot of freedom there to like grow spiritually, and my dad was into other kinds of spiritual stuff. But to answer that question, I think it started for me in high school when that event happened in Columbine, and I'm not going to say this was. You know, I can't say if that was a false event or a real event, you know, but I know people really were injured in that event because when I was a kid, my favorite park to go riding bikes at when I was little and wasn't into strong enough to do the mountain bike trails yet was this place called Clement Park. And they have, it was a nice like trail, and then they had playground so you could play and then you could ride your bike, and it was a great place. Well, so right next to there is Columbine High School, and so that was pretty close to home. You know, we were only 20-30 minute drive from where we lived to there, and so I had people that I went to high school with who's actually had cousins that were actually, you know, injured in that event. And but I don't want to get dark, something happened at the school with the principal, and he was like, because everyone at the school was kind of like watching the TVs and about what was going on, and it was like everyone stopped doing the academics. So the principal got mad that no one was doing their academics and da 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 da. And then he had blowback for doing that because it was this huge, like, emotional thing that happened just like in, you know, 30 minutes away. And I don't know. So that triggered some stuff. And then, of course, you know, not that long after that, 9/11 happened. And that one was it wasn't close to home, but it was like, it was just like such a catalyzing thing for like everyone. And then a couple years after that stuff, you know, a lot of that David Icke stuff started coming out about, you know, and other researchers about, you know, that potentially being a false flag event. And so these things, I think, you know, impacted me in a way that caused me to question. But here's the other thing that's really, really key in what made me see the evil is I don't think I ever numbed my conscience out. I think a lot of people numb their conscience out to a point that they don't recognize it anymore. And it's sad.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Woody, and that's partly why I often with guests on the show, I often go down this route, kind of asking my guest, well, what does evil mean to you, and how did you come to recognize it for what it is? Because I hope that listeners might have the ability to recognize that things are far worse than we could have imagined because we grow up in this culture of acceptance of psychotic behavior. And acceptance of stealing in its many forms, and even justifying stealing, like in the form of taxes or voting, where we're stealing the options that otherwise people would have to choose and saying, no, you only have this choice or that choice based on this structure we've created or that's been around before you came around, too bad. You know, suck it up, do what we say, and fall in line. And I agree with you. I was kind of similar in the way that I've always been resistant to growing up, you know, or just fitting into society from very young age. I was like, no, I'm going to stay young. I'm going to think for myself. And I think having parents that allowed that mental creativity to ask questions is huge. And so I kind of want to segue into creativity because I can tell that that's the direction that you know, your dad with his amazing music, and I'm sure your mom has artistic talent too, because you are a budding artist. When we met in Autonomy, I remember maybe it was a while after we met when you were doing the art class, and I remember coming to that and doing some art with you, and I got a lot out of that, even though I only came a few times. I really appreciated those times and seeing you post from time to time what you're working on, your little cartoons. So I guess what I'm getting at is, like you said, how dark do I want to get, right? It, things are really dark, and we have to admit that. But then what do we do with that? How do we teach others when the subject matter is so difficult? Well, we find a way to lighten it. We find a way to bring art into it, to express it in a way that other people can understand it instead of getting stuck. So how has art and natural law come together? I guess.
Well, I feel like art is a huge form of rhetoric, you know, like music is a big form of rhetoric, you know, and just through history, look at the art, you know, that the controlling class used. I mean, there's a lot of religious stuff. If you go to these museums like Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, there's all these like huge paintings of all this stuff, and encapsulating these ideas that, you know, that the people were following. And a lot of these things were like, a lot of the art that still exists from these times were like stuff that were, you know, commissioned big level things that, you know, these artists were getting taken care of, you know, very well to paint some of these. But, you know, that doesn't mean there wasn't other art out there either. But that being said, I think it's important that the average person does their art and shares it, because everyone's voice is important, you know, not just the powerful voice that trumps everyone else. You know, it's like the little guy's important, just as important, you know?
Yeah. The big thing's made up of a bunch of little things. Right. And all our little voices are part of what reality is and is becoming. When we really look into the manifestation process that Mark describes, for instance, you know, well, all our thoughts and ideas and actions going out in the world is what's creating the next day and the next year, right?
And what look at what they're attacking first with AI, art. Right. It's one of the biggest things you can do on AI is make animations, and, you know, you can upload a picture of yourself and have like a cool, like, illustration cartoon thing, you know, stuff that I get paid to do, you know. And actually it's been a lot harder for me since the AI has came out, because I've had to be like, oh, well, now I have to use AI so I can do stuff fast for people, or I don't like it. But here's the psychology behind that. They don't want us to be creative and to be, they don't want that creative outlook, because that's something healthy for us, you know. And if they kill that first, because that's the easy thing they can make AI do, you know, it's like, I want AI to clean my toilet so I can do more art. I don't want to be cleaning the toilet while I have a prompt generating some art for me. You know, right. It's like backwards. And, you know, because art is such a form of rhetoric, I mean, what do you think the television is? Even though it may not be paintings that you're looking at or animations all the time, it's art. It's a form of art. Film is a form of art. I would even consider nowadays podcasting as a form of art. You know, these are all forms of art that are like forms of rhetoric that people can watch, and it might affect their philosophical worldview.
You know, one thing I've always been struck by too, like we were talking about religion, when I've done some traveling, especially go to like England and France, places like this, these structures where religions have taken over these structures, whether they really built some of them or not, I don't really know. But the storyline is that, for instance, like the Catholic Church built these amazing cathedrals and structures, and some of the most amazing art in the world is built around religion. And you think when you study marketing, which I've had to do because, you know, when you start podcasting, you're like, well, how do I get my message out there? No one's listening. Well, marketing teaches you that people are affected by their emotions. And so old world marketing, before we had the internet, would have been really fancy cathedrals, really good speakers yelling, come to my fancy cathedral, right? Like, this is the coolest place to be. And you walk in and these towering structures of beauty and you're just amazed. And it's so easy to just start falling into that believing trap because it's like, well, look at these guys are so amazing and everything they have is so, it puts you in the state of mind. And like I was saying with marketing, people make decisions from a place of emotional, usually through emotions is the first place that we begin making our decision process. And so art appeals to our emotions. So as much as it's been a tool to enslave us, now we're starting to look at it more as a tool to reach people with this message of truth, to illuminate the understanding of the built-in law of natural law. I wanted, before I ask you another question, I want to share with you, our audience, your websites.
Yeah, of course.
Because we got, this is artswill.com, right? Is that
no,
where
this
I'm
one's
at?
So, you're at Soph and Ollie.
Oh, that's right the now. Book. Yeah.
That's, I have a children's book. It's pretty simple. It's a right versus wrong opposites book. I have a copy too here that I can show you guys in a minute. But yeah, it's literally just like, you know, eight or nine, I can't remember, several scenarios where one character is doing a right and the other character or wrong. And then that shows the, on the next page, it shows the right. And then I obviously have the cover is the, you know, from the tarot, the, you know, the
Soph and Ollie,
the name of the card right now, but yeah, it's the, you know,
oh, I see. With them holding the scales.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
swords.
Yeah. The crowns. And so usually on the tarot card, it's just the one, it would be only one character, but I like illustrating the two characters both like that, because that means they're both embracing those principles.
Right. And the left and the right pillars, basically a balance.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah. The left side is the self-defense principle, and the right side with the scale is the
non-aggression principle.
Yeah. Non-aggression principle, which is basically understanding right versus wrong objectively. And then on the top, they have the crowns on, which is saying they're self-governed.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful.
And so, which my argument is, if you know right and wrong, then you're self-governed.
Right.
And that's, well, not only you know it, but you live it too.
Well, and you know, you're a father, and we'll talk about being part of a family in a minute here, but one thing I've heard a lot of other folks say that I totally agree with is, you know, adults are set in their ways. A lot of us have been traumatized. A lot of us have already made up our mind about what we think reality is. So in terms of teaching natural law and affecting the future, I think your strategy of writing a children's book, of learning to speak to children about these things, is a powerful and good example of something that could be, you know, long lasting into the future and helping out the next generation have some, there's not enough books out there. Indica Martin, someone I've interviewed in the past, and she did a great job with her book, Get Back to Nature. And,
oh yeah, that's a great book, by the way. I actually have spoke with her. Yeah.
She's
amazing. And that is a really good book.
So, you know, I think this is a wonderful, beautiful thing you've done here. If you have children, if you know someone have children, get on this artswill.com. And, this is Sophie and Ollie. Sophandolly.com.
Yeah.
Sophandolly.com. Sophandolly.com. My bad.
And you can get to it from Artswill, too.
Oh, okay.
We can get to that later, but yeah, you can still get to it from ArtsWill.
Well, I'll bring up here. Let me bring up ArtsWill.com here. My other share screen, replace screen sharing with ArtsWill.com. There it is. Okay. Yeah. Now we can see your work with the Bigfoot series, which is also an aid, which I think is pretty darn cool. I was watching them this morning. The Bigfoot guy's name, Nimijdib, is that Benjamin backwards?
It is Benjamin backwards.
My crazy brain noticed that. Oh, yeah, I see where you have Sofinali on, and you have links to Autonomy and the One Great Work Network.
Yep.
And so this is Woodrow's other website, artswill.com, that I accidentally said first. But
which is, yeah. I would say this is my main site that everything I try to funnel everything I do to this one site. And then if you want to get to the book, you can get to the book. You want to get to the cartoon, you can get to cartoon. You know, this is actually some of my paintings. I've been doing an art show down in Pueblo at a gallery called Blowback Gallery for the last 4 years. And a lot of these paintings were done for some of those shows. In fact, next November, I have a big show down there that's going to be mostly my own work. I think that there's going to be one other artist showing there too at the time. But next November, I'm having a really big art show down there. I just got offered it the other day, or a week ago. So
congratulations on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, this painting right there, you're right there.
Yeah.
The gallery sold that painting a week ago. And then he's like, and he called me and was like, where do I send a check? And I was like, you know, whatever. And then he also was like, oh, I want to do a show next November with you. And I was like, all right, yeah, let's do it.
Right on. So yeah, congratulations.
Unpack that painting a little bit. We can, but we don't have to right now.
That's a good one. The imagery and the things you're sharing in these paintings prompt a person to ask themselves questions like what's happening here? You know, you got this dark figure holding these raging dogs on a leash in front of what looks like the White House.
Federal Reserve.
Oh, okay.
Yes, government Federal building. Reserve building. Federal Reserve building. And then look at the dog tags. Look what's on the dog.
The police. Tags.
Yeah, military, you know, all those guys.
Right. Just, so, you know, beautiful symbology and well done painting. Wow, look at those dogs, man, snarling. You could see the drool coming out of their mouth. I love it.
Yeah, so that was a fun one. But so that one sold last week. But
congratulations.
I do have, if you click on the support tab in the ArtsWill website, there is a link to I have a merch shop that you can go to, and that will, that has, you can get that on a multitude of products at the merch shop. It's a little bit clunky because it's just, it's like a red blood bubble thing, which I'm not necessarily, I'd rather move my stuff somewhere else, but for now that's
what
I do, and it allows me to still create a lot. So,
awesome.
And then people can still get some of my art and stuff. So, the backgrounds are also available because I've been having so much fun painting these digital backgrounds for the Bigfoot cartoon, and all those are available on merch there too. So
congratulations, Woody. I know personally how hard it is to, get these things going, to get a store on the website, to have something where people can actually purchase things. It's a process. You know, I remember, gosh, it's probably been more than 5 years since we met in Autonomy. I always forget now whether I was season 4 or 5, but you came in real close to that following season, or maybe even the same as me. And ever since then, I've been working on trying to get something for sale on my website. And it was just this last year when I finally got my book for sale. And so, yeah, I think it's a huge step in the right direction, what you're doing. You have things that people can purchase, things that people can look at. you're setting an example for other people, the world, future children, how to express yourself in a way that doesn't cause harm to others. And not only that, but teach the lessons of natural law in a fun way. And so jumping off that, I want to talk about Bigfoot. I love Bigfoot because, okay, first of all, I'm going to say one of the big things in my journey that really kind of pushed me over the edge before I got real deep into, I don't remember if it was before I got deep into Mark Passio's work or partway in, probably it was partway in because he mentions Lloyd Pye. And I remember watching this video and I've shared it to people. Anytime the subject of Bigfoot comes up, I'm like, you guys heard of Lloyd Pye? You need to watch this Everything You Know Is Wrong video. And so listeners, if you haven't yet, don't check it out now, but write down Everything You Know Is Wrong by Lloyd Pye and check out his work. And then let's hear what you have to say, Woody, about Bigfoot and your cartoon and this idea you came up with.
Well, my idea was that the original idea was, I wanted to do a cartoon with a character who's not human, but is studying humans. And so I was like, oh, I could do an alien. I could make up, you know, some stuff. But then I was like, oh, Bigfoot. Bigfoot supposedly lives on Earth. And I was like, well, you know, if he's real, he's been able to elude us for this long, you know, other than some alleged sightings and stuff, you know. And there's a lot of people out there that say they have proof that he's real and that there's lots of them, you know. And there would have to be lots of them. There would have to be healthy populations of them to have a sustainable species, you know. But anyways, most of my cartoon isn't about Bigfoot, and it's about him studying humanity and the fallacies or the problems with him, humanity, that him and his species has noticed. And he's essentially teaching natural law in a way where he'll kind of bring up, you know, something where humans are diverging from natural law or, you know, not following it properly. And he'll kind of make a joke, or he'll just kind of point that out. And then he's also solution oriented though. So he has solutions that he's bringing to the table, you know? So.
Yeah. Like in the first episode, he's kind of warning. He's like, hey, you guys are heading in a dangerous, very dangerous direction, you know? And I love that because I'm sure you watched our episode with the Warriors on Ishmael, a great book that Jim Adams brought to our attention. And Ishmael was kind of similar in that the gorilla offered a perfect objective point of view on looking at the humans from a different point of view. And if you're a listener and you're able to do this, kind of take yourself out of your own mindset and look at it from the perspective of, let's say, a Bigfoot, which is this occulted, you know, creature, this sort of hidden creature, right? That we got this fake story about the missing link that never has been described, you know, which is like so many things in our world where these stories don't really line up with reality. And that's why I'm pointing people with Lloyd Pye. But I thought Bigfoot was a perfect way to engage the imagination of the listener. When just I talk and say natural law is an inherent law in nature having to do with the consequences of human behavior, you know, a lot of times that just goes right over someone's head. It just sounds like a bunch of big words and me talking. But when you make a fun background, beautiful background, and the waterfall come in and Bigfoot shows up and he's saying, hey, humanity, you guys are going to destroy yourself. It allows someone to kind of look at it from the storytelling point of view and like put themselves in a different place than they normally would. And I think that's the beauty of art. It allows us to capture the imagination and perhaps with children, introduce some ideas or your paintings. Like I'm just thinking of the one too, Occulted, it shows the books. Is an open book, and then there's a book that's locked.
Right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's like, what does that symbolize? There's this knowledge that's being hidden, that's locked away, that perhaps we could find a way to unlock and get at. You know, let's stir the curiosity in other minds.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Entitled, go ahead.
Yeah, that in painting's entitled Ignorance versus Nescience. And I would argue that sometimes we're nescient of information because we don't have access to it because it's been locked away. Right. which I would argue most of the information now is out there and you can find it. But yeah, they don't make it easy for you to find, you know. For instance, a lot of these scientific journals are subscription based, and a lot of the stuff that comes out in there is you never hear about it because it's locked away in some scientific journal. And if the scientism oligarchs that are in the politics decide, oh yeah, we can let this out because it, you know, we're okay with this theory getting wiped out because it got basically disproved by this new science, you know, then everyone's going to hear about it. But like, I mean, there's a Bigfoot brings up, I can't remember which transmission it is, but there's, I think it might be the one about mentalism. There was a paper in 2004 that was written in the prestigious scientific journal Nature, which basically quantum physics proves the spiritual or mental, it basically the paper's, I think, entitled The Mental Universe. And then it says, you know, the, like, basically it sums up with the, you know, saying something like, the universe is mental / spiritual, enjoy, you know, and like live and enjoy or something like that is like how they sum it up. But it's like, I think the way they figured it out is with the slit experiment and like the, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, where
absolutely
some people see like a particle and some people see a
wave collapse. And so this is something I talked about in spiritual mathematics. I think that's often looked at incorrectly. I think often the conclusions people draw from those experiments take them in a direction that leads to a dead end, when you really consider that reality itself is the proving grounds of moral consciousness. Is that's exactly what this reality is us working out what right and wrong is in real plane in a sequential time, which you can imagine a greater universe where time doesn't matter, where existence just spreads out in every direction, almost infinitely, maybe infinitely. What would time mean? Time is space, right? And that's all big thoughts that I love to go on about. But I think what you're getting onto is true. When you do get deep into science and discoveries, you'll find parallels to spirituality and mentalism. If you really look, they're all very congruent. And some of these recognitions and realizations were what helped lead me towards the understanding of natural law and wanting to teach and explain it, because it's so basic and simple. And it helped me feel like I had a better grasp on reality, where when I grew up with the false constructs of religion, school, order following, it all seemed like chaos and it didn't make sense, you know. And some of these events that happened, like you described, you know, these kids shooting up the school and people getting hurt and 9/11, all these people dying, were sort of jarring moments that made me realize, like, there's something wrong with this whole equation that we've been given, where it doesn't all add up to reality. There's something false about it. And you can tell when someone's lying to you if you're paying attention. You can tell when the world's lying to you when you're paying attention. And so I think people are starting to recognize that, or they do on different levels. But the question is, how do we jar them to actually realize these things consciously and help share in the work of changing things? And I think you're doing that with your art and stuff. But what I'm curious about, interpersonal relationships, this is something we talk about on this podcast because we all struggle with it. I recommend everybody be doing something like you're doing. Have a website. Be putting out some kind of work. That's really the work. But that being said, we still have the struggle of dealing with family and friends and acquaintances and people that do not get what we're saying. And that can be extremely frustrating, especially on a week like this where it's like Thanksgiving. You got family members coming all together and they all have their ideas of what reality is. And you try to interject something truly important and you get shut down and beat up mentally by people. So I'm curious about your experience with that, dealing with family, friends, people you talk to, with these conversations, with your realizations. How does that go for you?
It's a mixed bag, you know, but it kind of depends. There's some people that I can't really talk about this with. They're too calcified in one direction or the other. And there's some people that are open and receptive. And then, you know, it's what's kind of cool now, I'm getting to the point to where I can just hand people my card and say, watch my Bigfoot cartoon if you want to like learn some of this stuff. But, you know, that's going to be keeping going for a while. But on another level, it's like, I think it's almost better to just keep it personal and just kind of give these people seeds, you know, because I hear people complaining about stuff. And then I'm like, well, so some of the answers, we have the answers. We just got to start living them, you know. And I really like what some of these people are doing with the whole food forest movement and stuff, because I think that's a good way of building community, but also coming up with sustainable ways to feed ourselves that aren't, you know, going to the grocery store and buying the groceries from the powerful controlling class or whatever you want to call them, you know.
Yeah, like Corey Enderlat has been doing a great job on that, and with this Health Revealed crew, wonderful girlfriend Leslie is part of that team. Health Revealed helping people recognize how many of the structures of our modern world are needing to be replaced with something more positive that actually cares about humanity, actually cares about being human, you know, instead of falling, like you were saying, into this AI mechanized world that seems like things are heading in that direction more and more. And that's not going to help us get more community. It's not going to help us get more fresh food. It's not going to help our bodies, our physical mind or body. So what are some of the things in your life you've found that help sustain you and your family and keep you healthy in the shape of being able to do this work? Because there's a lot of challenges, right?
Well, I've had a journey, and I really had to take care of some shadow stuff. You know, I mean, honestly, when I first met you in autonomy, I wasn't really coming out with that much stuff. I just kind of went to autonomy, learned some stuff, and then it took me, I think, another year or two before I came out with my book here. And then, you know, just recently, about six months ago, I started the Bigfoot cartoon, and I've been really motivated with that. I can't believe I've done 26 straight weeks of producing that cartoon, you know, and I'm not using AI to make it. I'm using, it's kind of like a, you could compare it to like a motion capture software for a 2D, a puppet that I drew all the artwork for and, you know, rigged up. So, you know, I would say it's a combination of kind of like how you'd operate a video game and motion capture. So some stuff I do through motion capture with my camera and like acting out and like blinking my eyes. And I literally, when the Bigfoot's eyebrows goes up, it's me acting that out with my eyebrows.
I was wondering, because it does a really good job of the mouth keeping up with the words. I was kind of impressed by that.
It uses, it does an auto lip syncing, which I have to go in and I always have to make fixes, but it saves a ton of time, because something like that, like a 2 or 3 minute video, which most of these are about, before this software existed, that would take probably 3-4 hours to lip sync. Now I can do it in about 20 minutes because you can auto translate things. But then it uses that, but it also uses the recording of the voice, both those things. And so then, but it always misses stuff, so I always go in there because I know how to do it the old way, so I know how to go in and, oh, this needs to be this mouth, this needs to be that, you know, and make those edits. And so that's a lot of fun. And those characters, you can build them, you can even live stream with those characters. I haven't done that yet. I haven't really got into that NDI mapping and, you know, whatever, but it's not that hard to do, and you could do it with one of those characters. Obviously, the lip sync wouldn't be as clean, but you're live streaming, so who cares, you know?
Yeah, there's a little bit different expectation, and, you know, there's always this progression of learning, and then this is another good topic, actually, technology, because like we were talking about last week, the rise of AI and technology going more into its own possibility of more evil coming into it, in that it thinks for itself and it's being programmed by evildoers behind the scenes. But on yet, to do the work we're doing, to reach the most people possible, we've got to find a way to get online. To get online and create beautiful art, to keep up, we have to learn as much technology as we can. And for me, that's been a struggle coming from a guy who didn't really want to learn technology. I'm curious how your struggle with learning technology has been since you started doing this type of work.
Well, it's been a struggle because I started out doing all my art just on paper and on canvas. And I still do a lot of art like that. Like some of those paintings you were cycling through on the website earlier are actual oil paintings on canvas and stuff, you know. But I had to not fight it. And I, in school, when I went to art college for animation, I had to learn some software and learn how to do things. And some of those softwares I still use, like Photoshop, After Effects, Premiere Pro.
I use those quite a bit. I've actually done some animation work with Photoshop. You can do this video timeline. Oh, cool. And I made a whole little animated video I haven't showed yet, but yeah.
Yeah. Or you can use Adobe Fresca, which is on the iPad, which you can animate, which is what I've been drawing. All the Bigfoot art is in Adobe Fresca. And you can animate in Adobe Fresca, and then you can put that in Photoshop, and, you know, it basically is kind of like Photoshop, but it's more
geared towards
drawing, and they have a lot of different more brushes and stuff in there than it is towards like manipulating photos. But yeah, you would take that into Photoshop, and then the Photoshop file, you have your layers, and you, as long as you have your layers named properly for your puppet, then you just put it into the Adobe Animate software, and you have your puppet there. You can rig it. There's videos online. It's not that hard to do, really. And I can do that for people. You know, if people need that done, I have a service where I don't have it like formally laid out on my website. I need to do that at some point. You know, but I am open to commissions if people need help. You know, if they're making a video and they're like, I don't have this image, I need an image, and I don't want to use AI. I can do that kind of stuff for people, you know. Or
fantastic.
If someone wants a puppet made, you know, they're not an artist, but they want to do a podcast and they want to have a puppet instead of being on it, I can make them a puppet and teach them how to use the software at a level of just controlling the puppet, you know.
And are you able, Woody, to kind of make your income doing your artistic work, or do you have to supplement that with other type of work?
I have to supplement, but right now I'm mostly doing video editing, and I'm doing a lot of stuff, but yeah, right now I'm mostly just doing that, my art stuff.
Good for you. That's impressive.
My biggest client right now is, I do video editing stuff for, and it's not in the natural law realm at all. But yeah, I do, you know, I'm building things up, and I'm getting to where I can fully sustain myself. But right now I'm having to do some things on some side hustles, or I've had to pick up with some part-time jobs and stuff here and there, just to keep food.
And you have a family, kids, and I think that's an important topic too, because I think a lot of people, when they run into natural law, become recognizing that government is a form of slavery, and a lot of the jobs associated with government and order following provide a lot of money for people and security, right? And so if you come to realize, like I did, I'm involved in a sick system. I'm getting paid through money that was stolen from people. I don't want to be that way. That's kind of like where people like you, yourself and myself went to, like a school like Autonomy, went to Mark Passio's How to Become the True Media, in hopes of sort of separating from the mainstream job, typical job lifestyle. But it can be very difficult to keep yourself afloat. And I found the entrepreneurial lifestyle requires being willing to try different things, being willing to, create multiple ways of bringing money in, and sometimes cutting it closer than we want to, cut it. It was much more comfortable when I had a steady paycheck coming from a government job, but I can't be doing that while I'm talking about ending evil, contributing to evil. So I really appreciate that you're living that lifestyle, as difficult as it may be, while supporting your family and while trying to teach these lessons. So that's impressive. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I'm building stuff though, and so I'm trying to do it in a way that hopefully I can start turning that into, some income, because like I said, with the, and I have made some sales here, but like with the Bigfoot cartoons, some of that you can get on the merch website. You can get not all the backgrounds yet, but at least half the backgrounds that I've done for Bigfoot, you can get as like a wall print or a pillowcase for, a throw pillow or all kinds of different, like a tapestry, like Chris has hanging behind him. There's all kinds of stuff there, and that's an income stream that once it starts taking off more, that's going to help support me and my family. And just like anytime, just people watching the videos and hitting subscribe, and then I'm putting out my book. This book here is a great way to support me and also get something that's a positive thing that you can teach people, right and wrong. And I would say it's not a read. Kids probably couldn't read that book to themselves, because there are some big words in it. And so, but they can understand it, because the psychology is, you could read, a scientific book to a kid and they'll internalize a lot of that, I remember.
They're way smarter than people give them credit for. One thing I remember being a camp counselor, we had these books and cards that would supply ideas to games, group games you could play with the kids. And they're usually grouped by, this is for ages 5 through 8 or whatever. And I would constantly attempt the games that were made for an older audience on younger kids and find out that they can do it. They're actually doing better than some of the older kids sometimes. Younger kids are very intelligent. And if you put a big word that the child has to then ask, what does autonomy mean? And then that gives the parent, the adult, the opportunity to explain that word, and then they're thinking about it too. What does that mean? And that's really what the adults need to be doing, is rethinking these basic words and what they mean, right?
One thing about this book is it, like, the way I word stuff sometimes, it's like a right, it's talking about a right as a right, if that makes sense. Let's see if I can find the example.
Well, and folks, I don't know if you're a big proponent of holidays. I'm not all like big about holidays, but a lot of people heading towards Christmas. Now's a great time to purchase this book or one of Woody's pieces of art, rather than buying some commercial crap from Amazon. Buy something from a natural law truth speaker, and also bring about the possibility of someone in your family coming to recognize these truths through his work. So I really recommend people to check out artswill.com heading towards Christmas. If that's something you celebrate, why not get some natural law gifts rather than lying and cheating company gifts? Did you find something good there, Woody?
This is an example. I won't read the whole bit, but I'll show the picture. You have in this page, Ollie's pulling Soph's hair, right? Okay. And so, but then on the next page, it says, if you want Soph's attention, be polite. Asking like that is exercising a right. And so that word exercising is important, because when a lot of these government people talk about their rights, they're always talking about exercising rights, and this is how you exercise your rights, or but they're talking about their man-made law rights, where this is bringing that to your right is actually All a right is an action.
Right. That does not cause harm. They want to exercise it like the exerciser.
The evil ones. Most people are confused that a right, they think it's something that is
granted.
Granted to them by the government. No, it's all it is an action. And it's all right versus wrong is action polarity. So you got wrong on one side of the pole and right on the wrong other side of the pole. And I'm not saying that they're the same thing, because wrong is definitely objectively different real life. And I would say that they're both, you know, but there's degrees of right wrongness, right? You know, like stealing a candy bar isn't as bad as stealing someone's life, you know?
Absolutely.
So there are degrees there, but it's still objectively a wrong either way, because you're committed theft in some way or another. And so it's like, you know, are you stealing or not stealing? It's like, that's a polarity though. It's like, if you don't steal, you're on this side of the polarity. If you are stealing, you're on this other side of the polarity, you know? And, you know, it's one of those hermetic laws of polarity, how you have like, you know, the temperature is a example where, you know,
it's a spectrum.
Freeze. Yeah. It's a spectrum. You know, everything has a spectrum, but there's a line where that spectrum separates, you know,
and so, ice freezes, right? At a certain degree temperature, like you can take away the heat until there's really no heat at all. And it's just ice.
What happened to that? What is ice? Is that it's changed states at that point.
Right.
But depending on what degree you're in governs what state you're in, you know?
Oh, yes.
So it's the same thing.
Do we want a state of freedom?
Yeah. If you want a state of freedom, you have to be in right action, right? So it's a state. It's just like if you're a plasma, if in science where they're like, oh, this is a gas, liquid, or solid, you know, those are just states based off of what degree of temperature it is. If you're looking at that, those, you know, gas, liquid, and solid of water, for instance, those are all states, different states that it can be in that differ by degree of polarity, you know.
I love that type of
and it corresponds, and I almost listed almost every single hermetic principle there, which even gender, you know, I would argue water has, you know, it's the gender, you know, just in its atomic, you know, buildup of the positive and negatively charged, you know, you could call that gender if you wanted to. And if they don't come together, those positively and negatively charged ions or neutrons, whatever you want to call them, if they don't come together, that thing don't manifest, you know? So it's like all the stuff, it's like corresponds, and it all is how reality is built in these, you know, hermetic principles. And I don't know all the answers, you know, but I'm studying this stuff, and I'm always learning, and I'm always uncovering new things all the time, and thinking about it and internalizing it and then projecting it outward through artwork and animation, you know, or books, whatever.
And that's a beautiful process.
Music,
right?
Too. I've been getting back into music, just like you, Chris. You said you kind of were out of the music for a while. I've been the same story for me. I've been out of it. I'm getting back into it. I did one of the Bigfoot cartoons as a music video. I think it's Transmission 19. And I made the beat myself. I, you know, rapped it.
I've seen that one. I'm going to have to go back and review that.
And I'm doing some guitar for this. We're doing a 13-day creative challenge with Dave Randall through Autonomy. I met him.
Oh, yeah.
He does a 13-day creative challenge things, and he has his team Doodah, and he has planet Doodahians, and it's kind of like the same concept as Bigfoot, where they're outsiders giving humanity advice, kind of thing.
And
but he's doing a great thing, and he does these cool creative challenges, and so Bigfoot is on one of them, and we're doing some guitar work. I'm actually supposed to be teaming up with Apophysis on a music video.
Oh yeah.
Conrad, I'm supposed to be, it's kind of been backburnered, but he wants to do, we're doing one of his songs, and I'm going to make a Conrad foot
Yeah, right on. I don't know if you saw, I did a little music video.
Yeah, I saw that. That was
Conrad,
awesome.
And that was my attempt at doing some animation, making cartoon versions of Conrad and myself. And I did use some AI in that process to create those movements.
I saw that.
But it was fun. And I enjoy doing that type of thing too. And you were using the word exercise, and that made me think, a lot of this work we're doing, even what you were just describing, like finding congruencies, finding the parallels between the Hermetic principles and a thought process, trying to find the synergy between symbols. You know, like I had a whole series on symbolism on the End Evil podcast. These exercises that we go through in our mind of trying to grapple these things, how do I express this in a way that's more palatable to others? How do I explain to myself these problems I see that aren't being solved? How do I be part of the solution? It's not easy, you know, but it can be fun if we do it in an artistic manner. Just like getting ripped with muscles, you got to put in the reps, you got to put in the time, you got to think about these things, you got to wrestle with them. And I think there's a tendency to say, oh, that's too hard to think about, I'm not even going to do it. Where we're trying to encourage listeners and people to, yeah, play with these ideas, exercise with these thoughts and concepts. Try them in different ways. Try expressing them and see what comes out. And you're going to learn. And it feels good to learn, right?
Yeah. And I think outsourcing all of your entertainment is a problem too, because that's what most people do, is they outsource their entertainment. They hit play on a magic light box and it displays entertainment to them, you know?
Where the cult, you know, ritual of becoming an apprentice would be initiation, right? And initiation is a word I've always loved, because it means like getting on the bike yourself, getting a hold of the steering wheel and starting to make your own choices instead of relying on some other bus driver to take you somewhere. Now you're the driver of the train or the bus or whatever you want to imagine symbolically your life. You're in the steering wheel. You're putting the art on the blank paper. You're putting the media on YouTube instead of allowing corporate structures or evildoers to, you know, create that for you. We're creating the future that we want to see. And that is beautiful work you're doing on that, Woody, and inspiring people. I really appreciate that.
Sure. And even if you don't want to like do stuff like I'm doing, where I'm trying to teach natural law and stuff, I encourage people to just pick up a pencil, even if you don't think you can be an artist, and draw something. You know, there's great mandalas are in a great abstract art. It's a great therapy. You know, Mark just did his shadow work.
I was enjoying that yesterday.
I would say
something we could talk
music
about.
If you're having problems, learn how to play an instrument. Instruments are a great tool for shadow work, I would argue. And I wasn't part of his seminar, so I don't know what his take on stuff is, but if I have a bad day, I can come home. I have multiple instruments that I can sit down on, and I could either strum it out on a guitar, or I could bang it out on a keyboard, I could bang it out on a drum. You know, some of these things are very important, and you don't even have to. A lot of times I'm not even playing a song that's a real song. I'm just like channeling almost like energy through my body. And I know enough about music that if it sounds good, I like it and I keep playing that. If it doesn't sound good, I try a new way to play something until I like the way it sounds, you know? And then I can loop that, I can record it, I can remember it, I can forget it, I can never come back to it, whatever, it doesn't matter. But I'm having fun and I'm getting, or sometimes it can be frustrating, or sometimes I'm just getting out some frustrations, you know? It takes your mind off of it. You're banging on the drum, and you're like, you're letting out that energy in a positive way that isn't on your family or on, you know, your neighbor or on your girlfriend or on your, you know, whoever might be close to you in your life. And you're just in a prickly mood because you had a prickly day, you know. It's like, take that out on your, I'm not saying take it out on your instrument by destroying your instrument.
Banging your guitar.
Let those emotions through. Flow through you and out through the music.
And that can be art, you know, so whatever. Prophetic. I'm sure you've experienced this. Every artist I've ever had this discussion with says, a lot of times I wrote a song or I drew something and then it didn't even make sense to me until 2 or 3 years later or 10 years later. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, that thing that I created way back then was almost telling my future. Like, I didn't even realize how true it was at the time when I made it. The words didn't even make sense to me. But now when I listen to a lot of the old songs I created, I listen to them now and I'm like, damn, I didn't know I knew that stuff back then. I don't think I did. I think God, whatever you want to call it, the universe, the creator, the essence of reality, our divine source, it allows it to come through us. And when we create that, we just let ourselves be a crystal, a channel of letting the truth flow through us. And that's when sometimes we can make incredible discoveries. So that is a powerful part of doing the work you were talking about, Mark, shadow work. He gave some pretty specific methods in that course on how to do shadow work. But I think one that you're talking about is something I have used successfully in my life is to, we got so much emotions from being in slavery, from being traumatized our whole life, from being treated like slaves in so many ways that there's a lot of trauma and bad feelings that need to be dealt with, and doing art and work through some of that so that we can get to that point where then we can help and teach others and be part of the great work. So that's me going on a lot, just excited about what you were saying. I'm so excited that you're working with Apophysis, Devin in Georgia, and Conrad. If people want to look back on the End Evil podcast, they've both been on the podcast, and Sound Path to Freedom. Those folks are awesome. So I'm just going to give you the floor for the last few minutes here. Anything you want to talk to the audience about or advertise for your upcoming work, feel free.
Well, I had a friend in town a couple weeks ago, and he's a writer, and we came up with a fun Santa cartoon that's going to be coming out hopefully next week if I can get everything done. Other than that, my Bigfoot cartoon premieres weekly at 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, we're on Mountain Standard Time now, but it's 3 p.m. whatever time Mountain Time is, weekly. And if for some reason I decide to skip a week, I will let people know before that happens. And
what day of the week is that?
Oh, Thursdays. Thursdays at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. And so that's something there. And yeah, so I might, since I'm, I think this week I'm actually skipping that to do the Santa one. And so I might, my friend, we might release that on Friday instead of Thursday. We'll see. But typically moving forward, for sure, I try to, you know, always have those cartoons out at 3 on the Thursdays. And then, you know, obviously my website, we went through the artswill.com and the sofanollie.com. Those are great ways that, you know, if you want to buy a children's book for your children, that's a great way to support me. Or there's, if you click the support tab on the artswill.com, there are a number of ways of to support me, which even include if you want to commission me to do something. I'm old school. I have the phone number right at the top right hand corner there. You can just give me a call, or that's probably really the best way to get a hold of me right now. Until I'm working on setting up some other systems that for people to contact, but right now that's the one I like the most. But yeah, and other than that, you know, I encourage people to, like, you know, be creative and at least try to embrace the creative side of you, even if you don't think you have one, because I think it's an important way to not only, you know, challenge your mind, but also it's a good way to release, you know, emotions and stuff.
Yeah, like we said, practice, training, and also
and you have a sense of, like, accomplishment afterwards, you know, whether it's a song or some art, you have a sense of accomplishment. And, you know, it's like, I have my cartoon series, but not that many people are watching it yet, and that's fine. And, you know, the Stoics would say it's not necessarily about how many people are watching it. It's about, look at what you have accomplished. In 26 weeks, I've animated 26 cartoons or more. There's actually more than that, because there's one I did with the 13 Day Crown. But anyways, if I do the math, just, you know, they average around 2 to 3 minutes long, 26. That's almost, I've almost animated a feature film worth of minutes in about half a year, which a year ago, I never would have even fathomed that I could have done that. There's an animation below the Bigfoot on my website. It's called, it says, "Are you teachable?" It took me 2 years to make that one. Okay. And yeah, I slacked a lot. I didn't always, you know, stay up after, you know, putting the kids to bed and work on it. But that thing, it took me 2 years. And that's I think it's a little over 2 minute long film, where now I'm doing a 2 minute film every week, you know? So it's like, I've blown my own mind out of the water, you know? And so and now it's like, I've exercised this enough. It's almost like a habit for me now that I'm like, oh, I need to do my new back. 'Cause I've been doing new backgrounds for every cartoon. I'm like, well, I have the puppet built. I might as well, I want to keep doing art. So let's just keep doing new backgrounds, you know? And so, you know, I'm like, oh, I got to do it. It's not like I got to, it's like, cool, I'm going to do another background. What's like, what family trip photos or whatever, where do I have some cool like landscapes that I can use as inspirations for the background, you know?
Like, then your mind's kind of like running, yeah. And you get ideas. Like I always keep notes, and all of a sudden in the middle of the day, I'll be like, oh, I got an idea for the podcast, and put it in there. And it just gives you
on the notes app. You just write like on your magic light box, you know, you just put it in the notes app and there you go.
There you go. You always got something to work on, and that feels good, right? It feels sustaining. And I think everybody needs meaning in life, and there's plenty to do. You know, we need to be talking about these topics. We need to get other people excited about these topics, because otherwise we're pushing our children and our grandchildren and everybody else's family and children of the future into slavery. And if we're not trying to change that, we're just going down with the ship.
Yeah, exactly. Know? I mean, I probably wrote half those Bigfoot cartoons while I'm sitting at my son's Taekwondo while he's doing his Taekwondo class, you know. Instead of sitting there doom scrolling, I'm writing a script for the next cartoon, you know what I mean?
Right.
Based off of like all this other stuff that I've researched and stuff. You know, it's like I'm not coming up with any of it. It's just all, nothing's new under, I'm just relaying stuff I've learned and aggregated over the years.
Which also allows you to rethink about it while you're going through that process and learn it better. And then the next time you have an opportunity to speak, now you've thought about it 2, 3, 4, 5 times.
Yeah.
And you've already said it a few times when you recorded it and listened to your recording.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, boom, it's right on the top of your mind. And I think some people watch some of these shows and they're like, man, how do these people are able to speak so succinctly and clearly? It's because we've been practicing. And this is all about consistency. You got to find a way to start doing something on a weekly or monthly basis. And it really does build on itself. Like you're saying, you know, I can remember just starting in 2020, putting this podcast out, you know, being lucky to get 2 or 3 views, you know, now, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of downloads. It's amazing. It blows my mind how many shows that have been created and how much work has been done, that I made a book. You know, it all comes from just sticking to it and being consistent. And so that's what we're encouraging the audience to do. And oh, I forgot to mention, you're going to be having some of your art displayed in the fun coming up Freedom Under Natural Law Conference.
Yes.
We're looking excited to see you there, and your name on the list of people that are going to be part of this conference. So that's going to come up in February 21st and 22nd. And so people check out freedomundernaturallaw.com for that. And check out artswheel.com. Check out Woody's book for children. You know, every household with kids should have that book, Wrong Versus Right by Woody Martin, and sophandollie.com. And thanks so much for joining me today, Woody. It's been a great convo. I'm sure we'll have another in the future.
Of course. Yes, this has been a pleasure. Always love speaking with you, Chris.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. And I hope you have a wonderful day with your family. And if people are out there enjoying a holiday with Thanksgiving, I hope we gave you some things to think about and some things to share with your loved ones and some reasons to care.
Yeah, perfect time to pick up an instrument or dust off that piano in the corner at your, maybe you're visiting some fam, like your parents, maybe they have a piano there or something. Who knows? You know, perfect opportunity to dust that thing off and dink around on it.
Yeah, and maybe if people don't want to hear the way you have to put things, maybe they'll be a little more keen to hear how Bigfoot has to say. So that's 2 p.m. on Thursdays when in my time, Pacific time. And then I do the podcast Thursdays at 6 p.m. So same day, we have a similar consistency. And I encourage more people to create some sort of consistency like that with their work, whether it's art or drawings or writings or singing. Find a way to express the truth of freedom, natural law, and help humanity get out of this gorge of evil and work on doing actions that don't cause harm to others.
That's right.
Thanks, Mark.
Art doesn't have to be perfect, so don't let perfection stop you from doing it.
Absolutely. Much love, folks. Evil is the destruction of freedom. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Thanks again, Chris.
Bigfoot, and I'm here to say, humanity wants its freedom to play. The psychopaths be getting in the way. Don't let those control freaks take your power away. Yo, power elite, humanity's not your prey. The solution is in plain sight. With collective love we win the fight. Too bad psychopathic leaders won't let that happen. Police and military, their biggest weapon. You don't have to follow orders and go with the flow. It's time to use courage and say the magic word no.